Disclaimer: this episode contains discussions on white supremacy and has explicit language. Mature audiences only. Thank you.
The Leading with
Love,
Empathy,
Action,
and Humanities Podcast. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome. This is the Leading with Love, Empathy, Action, Humanity podcast. We're excited to have you here today. This is where we talk about leadership and social justice and the actions that you can take in your organization and with your leadership to help build foundations for better organizations. We're your hosts here. My name is Mr. Alex Kirk, and with me is Dr. Jessica Miller. I hope you're out there and you are feeling comfy, sitting down maybe. And today's topic is about white privilege. It really is around Jessica's experience recently, fairly recently, with regards to a white privilege experience that she'd had. And I think really the inception for our whole organization, because she called me on the way back from this experience, which she's going to tell you about in a minute. And she was pretty upset. She was pretty mad. And I'm like, you know, what is all that about? And this is really, I think, the impetus for her really deciding to really start to formulate her ideas and form her business, correct? Right? And
that is correct.
And really put all this into, so it's like the origin story kind of, where for her last straw that she really decided that she was going to tackle these big jobs and get me on board and formulate this business. So Jessica, you called me one day. Where were you? What were you doing?
I did call you one day, and that is what I do when I was upset, is call Alex. But I was on my way home from a leadership retreat in Lake Tahoe, California. We were on the California side. And at this retreat were equity leaders from across the state that had gathered to do some work around a framework that the state has for leading for equity.
And right. And you said you quite enjoyed it. It was good. But it was, if I recall, you had gone through a day of training, correct? And then you were on the second day, and somebody had asked something along the lines of, hey, how do you think yesterday went? You know, how do you think things are going so far? And you'd had a bit of a reaction to that. What was it? What was going on there?
Well, as you know, Alex, I'm quite a big reflector. And so I reflected that night after our first day, and the one thing that kept coming up for me in that reflection and what happened during the day, obviously, was it felt to me that when we began to make momentum about how to change some of the systems that we're currently living in our education.
And these are huge, huge statewide systems, right?
Huge statewide systems.
Right.
And we know those systems are like, they're not going to change overnight. We know and understand that.
Yep.
And we're willing to put in the hard work, right?
Absolutely.
But I think as I was reflecting, what was really bothering me about the day is it kept coming back to this idea of, and this is, you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes. We can't do that because it's going to make people uncomfortable.
Right.
We can't do that particular thing because people aren't ready. They're not there yet. And at the time, it rubbed me the wrong way. But yes, before I called you, in reflecting, I was very angry.
Well, so. But like you're saying, this is going to make people angry. But you mean a certain group of people. Which people are you talking about?
That's exactly right. This is going to make cis hetero white men uncomfortable.
Right. Talking about state level systems of equity and social justice. And so, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but the second day, when asked for feedback, it'd been pretty quiet, but you had decided to bite the bullet, good old Jessica, and say, okay, I really can't sit here in this kind of retreat. I'm going to stand up and say something about this, correct?
I did. And as you have mentioned before, and I'm sure you will mention again, I am very kind of straightforward sometimes.
Very
and sometimes
direct, Jessica
I
Miller.
Need to maybe change my wording on things, but and I'm working on that personally, but
sometimes there's times for directness though.
And I did stand up in the retreat and I said, I need everybody to look around this room.
Yes.
And the only person who is a not white person in this room doing equity work is our one African-American homosexual man.
So that's, I mean, when I'm listening to this story, and she was way more mad when she told it to me. But that's what I was really surprised at. It was like, this is a, and I actually said it to her. I'm like, wait a minute. This is a state level retreat, correct? And you're like, yes. And I'm like, wait, so you're talking about equity and justice, but you're trying to tell me that the only person in the room, there's only one person in the room that's actually not white. That was mind blowing to me.
That was mind blowing to me as well, Alex.
And so
I stood up and I looked at my colleagues and I said, us stopping this work because it's going to make people uncomfortable, including us, is just putting on display the white privilege that we are enacting
in this room right now, right?
In this room right now.
This is a display of our white privilege.
And it is a display of our white privilege because it is not affecting us. The world was built for the power groups. And the power groups are white men for the most part.
And I think I remember you saying to me at the time, we can afford to just sit here and just like not push forward because of the makeup of the people in this
Absolutely.
Room. We can just take it easy. This isn't important for us because it's not directly affecting us right now. We can just kind of sit here and take it easy, right?
And we can pat ourselves on the back in this work and say we're doing this work towards equity while sitting in the stink of our own white privilege.
That's a huge statement.
And not even accepting our white privilege in that. And I think, and I know I'm not supposed to go on a tangent, Alex, but I'm going to say to that point as well. When I said that, my colleagues in the room felt some very heavy emotions about what I had said. And they had a hard time accepting that they were working through their own white privilege.
Did anybody say something specific or did it just a feeling you got from the room? Or?
The big response I got back was, well, if we just say these words, those were his words, say these words and make people uncomfortable, we're not going to get any work done.
Yes.
And what that told me was, sitting in his white privilege was more comfortable than learning how to communicate. Sitting in his white privilege was more comfortable than getting outside it. And that bothered me. I mean, if you're going to be in this type of work, we need to understand.
You can't afford to sit there.
Yeah, you can't afford to sit there. Because we're talking about meeting people where they are. What if we meet our marginalized groups where they are? How does that change the conversation? How about we think about making marginalized and underserved groups of students comfortable instead of the cis hetero white male that's running the institution?
Good point. I mean, and we have kids all up and down the state and across the nation and in other countries who suffer because of these systemic, you know, environments who suffer on a daily basis because they're kind of used to it. You know, they're kind of beaten down by it. So yes, it's kind of scary to think of grown adults are feeling some discomfort in a room somewhere because, you know, we're trying to even discuss this and they kind of like, no, this is enough for right now. But I think that's the whole point of where I think you really decided to kind of, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to do something more proactive from what I can do and then from what we can do together, which has developed this framework, this love, empathy, action, and humanity framework. And again, the action in there to really take actionable decisions to do something about it. So we're not sitting. So, you know, and we both agree on this, like, we're not just going to sit and shout and blame people. And, you know, there's time and it can be very cathartic, but that's not going to get us anywhere. It's a case of, you know, how can we actually make things better and to push that boundary, but to do it with empathy. So, you know, understanding, yeah, the white privilege in the room and having to accept, you know, our own white privilege and other people's white privilege and empathizing with that, but then still having that forward momentum and willing to be uncomfortable and challenging that, because you're right, a lot of what we see happening is it sounds good, it looks good, we've hired the equity coordinator, but we're not really doing anything. And for a lot of minority groups, not nearly fast enough. Again, our kids and a lot of adults in schools still suffer. So Yeah. Anything else you want to add to that? An anecdotal story, that story that you had there?
No, no, we have many more podcasts to come, my friend, but for, yeah, that was a big one for me.
Yeah. You really, I think, put a bug in you, and you were really determined to create something out of this moment. I think it really solidified it for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, well, thank goodness you had that experience then. From these, you know, somewhat negative experiences comes all this growth, which is very awesome. So thank you very much for listening to our recent podcast. Remember, you can go to leahumanity.com to check out all the other things that we're doing. What was that? Sorry.
Oh, the socials. We can be found and on all social media accounts at Love Empathy Action.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. So thank you very much for joining us today, and take care out there.
This has been Leading with Love, Empathy, Action, and Humanities podcast, hosted by Dr. Jessica Miller and Alex Kirk. Production by A Serious Production. For more information, please go to www.leahumanity.com. That's www.leahumanity.com.